We're going to read in the 109th Psalm. You want to turn there? Sometimes when we read the Psalms, we know that Jesus Christ told us in the New Testament to love our enemies and to be kind to those that despitefully use us. But if you read the Psalms a lot of times, if you ain't careful, you'll say that it seems like the psalmist is wishing evil to come upon his enemies. And we was reading the 109th Psalm. I believe it was last night. I read it earlier this week, and we were searching a topic through the Bible, and we read all the 109th Psalm, and then later on we just opened up the Bible and lost recollection of where we'd read earlier, and so that you know how it is when you're studying a topic, you just flip through the Bible. We read all this chapter, and then later on in the week that we opened up the Bible and it fell right to this place with it unmarked, and went ahead and read it again and said, wait a minute, I just put this here a day ago. So it's our desire that we might be able to maybe preach a little on what the Lord's shown us. It says with the first verse, hold not thy peace, O God of my praise, for the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are open against me. And they have spoken against me with a lying tongue. And they compassed me about also with cords of hatred, and fought against me without a cause. For my love, they are my adversaries, but I give myself into prayer. And they have rewarded me evil for good, and hatred for my love. Set thou a wicked man over him, and let Satan stand at his right hand. When he shall be judged, let him be condemned, and let his prayer become sin. Let his days be few, and let another take his office. Let his children be fatherless, and his wife a widow. And then we're going to jump down and we're going to read the 12th, and it says, let there be none to extend mercy unto him, and neither let there be any to favor his fatherless children. And then if you flip on over in the same chapter, we're going to read the 16th down to the 19th. It says, talking about this one that, as it was, David is proclaiming what would sound to be a curse. It said, because that he remembered not to show mercy, but persecuted the poor and needy man, and that he might even slay the broken in heart. As he loved cursing, so let it come unto him. As he delighted not in blessing, so let it be far from him. As he clothed himself with cursing, like as with his garment, so let it come into his bowels like water, and like oil into his bones. Let it be unto him as the garment which covereth him, and for a girdle wherewith he is girded continually. See, if you read all of this chapter, you'll get a better understanding of just David here is proclaiming. We see where David has treated someone with kindness, and because they lied, because they were deceitful, because they were wicked. It says here, for the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are open against me. David pronounces, and he sets out and he says, and they have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love. Set thou a wicked man over him, and let Satan stand at his right hand. And I got to thinking about that. Sometimes we would like to see certain things happen to those people that maybe have treated us unkindly, maybe because of the very things that we've done out of acts of kindness, out of acts of love. They've turned them around because of it. They've made us their prey. And you know, I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about some that has just in the recent past has done that very thing to me. But when I begin to hear what it says here, and it says, set thou a wicked man over him, and let Satan stand at his right hand,
and I thought to myself that there ain't nobody that's ever treated me in such a way that I would want that to take place, that I would want a wicked man to rule over their life, that I would want, as it were, Satan to be their right-hand man. Then I begin to realize that what David is declaring here, he's not wishing a curse upon anybody, but he's wanting people to realize that there's only one or two ways. Sometimes we like to think, as the Bible says, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord, the Bible says, is nigh in the valley of decision. And sometimes we like to think, that's where the world's at. But I'm afraid to tell you today, it brings fear to my heart as we think about it. And there I had her. And she went, and I was determined. She was going to learn. She was going to go where Darrell took her. And she fought and she bowled against it. But her being a little dog, and me being a grown man, she went where I said go. Why? Because she was tethered to me. Although she might not have win, but in there are other dogs. Listen, just because you've not fully surrendered and looked to the devil as your leader and your master and eagerly go with him, but just because you're pulling at the chain, I don't think that you yourself as a free man to take upon yourself the one that helped you in your fight, because that's just the way it is. The lying tongue, the one that's deceitful, the one that is motivated by hatred, who will find it to be here that his right hand man was not there to help him fight his enemies. He was there. Speak of Satan. He was there to destroy the one that took him as his companion. For Satan is a sore and a vexing friend at best. We can think of friend. The Bible says that I will be a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. But God came. He provided a son. The Bible says a supreme sacrifice. Why? Because mankind needed it. Today, if you hear people talk, you think somehow that they think that they're not in need of a Savior. But I declare to you today, because Jesus came, because there was no other way, when he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he said, Lord, if it could be thy will, let this cup pass from me. But there was no other way. And that was because mankind was tethered unto the devil himself. They were as that dog that cows from his evil master. And no doubt when he was in sin, sometime eagerly ran with the devil and pulled to it the chain. Other times I found myself being drug along. What Darrell needed and what you need today, you've not been born again is Jesus Christ and Him. Realize that He is a Savior that was crucified for me and your sin. That He rose the third day so that I might be set free from the bondage that Daryl was chained to, and you as well. Listen what it says. It says here, because the evil man, as it were, remember not to show mercy. You read that and you say, wait a minute, that sounds like David himself wasn't showing mercy. That sounds like David, as it were, was lifting up a curse. And here he is talking of the evil one, the one showing not mercy. Let him be clothed in his curses. Listen to me. Me or you, we could curse a man if we would, but it ain't going to bring it to pass. I could say to either to anybody here, as we've heard so many times from the wicked, asking God, as it were, to damn somebody. But God has already established in His holy word who will be damned and who will be blessed. So I can say what I will, but God has declared in His word that the wicked He shall punish, and the righteous shall reign with Him. So then, how do we obtain this righteousness? David said that he'd rather be a doorkeeper at the house of God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. Sometimes, when people, when you try to tell them about God's word, and it makes them angry, when you reach out in kindness and goodness, and they spread lies, they go to and fro, and they try to tell all manner of falsehoods on you. It makes you feel sometimes like a doormat, like everybody's walking on you. But listen, that David, the king of a great and godly combination, was willing to be the doorkeeper. Surely Daryl ought to be willing to be the doorman. I'd rather be the doorman at the house of God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked, than to eat of the food of the unrighteous, and to sleep in the bed of the deceitful. Oh, why? Because at the end of it, this spent life is sorrow, as it were, to swallow you up in a cloak. Nothing can get closer to you, can it? Sometimes we see people out in town, and they've got those polyester outfits on. You don't see it as much as you used to, but I've seen some, and they'd be wearing these garments, and you couldn't get no closer than what they had on. Listen, that's what the Bible's speaking about here. These that have cursed others, that those curses are going to fall upon them. We think of the man that tells a lie. Man, why is it so effective? So many times it's effective because somebody is willing to believe the liar. Sometimes somebody don't know that somebody is telling a falsehood, but I'm thankful that if we stay to the course, if we follow after Jesus Christ, that time's going to tell you. Ain't that right? You know, I was thinking about that. That, you know, so many times I heard a man say with the greedy, it's so easy to figure out what they're going to do because every time they're greedy. But he pretty much was declared. But with an honest man, his actions are unpredictable, because after all, you don't know when he's going to start being dishonest. There was a man that thought he had it figured out with a greedy person. But listen, apparently he had had enough contact with people that counted themselves to be honest. And because of it, he found himself in a precarious best position because they chose, as it were, to sell out. I don't know what your price is. Some people speculate that it were. We see on television, sometimes they discuss certain things. And what would, how much money would you take, as it were, to sell your name? Some people it's just a dollar. Others it might be a million. But us that have been born again, we've been given a new name that is without price. And I'd like to inform that man, he's got it all backwards. An honest man is always going to do what's obvious. Listen, a liar can tell the truth, but an honest man can't tell a lie. And thanks be to God, we can be bound by His Word and not fear, as it were, to think of our vulnerability. God in Malachi the third chapter. I believe it's the 16th verse. But God said, if you'd want to turn there, that He heard of the righteous talking one to another. Listen, not only does He hear our petitions unto Him, but He hears the righteous when they talk with their brothers and sisters. And God says He'll deliver. I say, who you gonna believe? I'm thankful that the Lord set Daryl free a long time ago from His right-hand man. We were talking about that this weekend with their father. And sometimes in the past, how bitterness can rule your life. Well, I'm glad. Although Daryl's just a mortal, though Daryl can think of ways that he might protect his family, I have no promise of tomorrow. But listen, if I was to go on this mission trip to India, and I was to die of some disease, or from some man full of hatred, I don't have to lay down a plan, church, of how I'm going to, in my absence, prepare and provide for my family. God's already got it taken care of. I can go with a peace that surrounds me like a cloak. I can go and know beyond a shadow of any doubt my family is going to be provided for, because I serve a God that hears the cries of His children. Have you ever felt like that dog on the end of a leash? Have you ever felt like against your will you've been being pulled through life and you just wish you could do better? Well, I've got one who can break that chain, and you will follow Him. He'll not tether you to His side, but He'll say, come and follow Me. And you'll say, yea, Lord, and you'll follow Him. Oh, why? Because it is a lovely and a wonderful thing to dwell in the shadow of His wing. It's a beautiful thing to drink at the water in which my Savior will lead you, if you but follow Him and He's made the way. Let's get some song to sing. I'm thankful that the Lord will provide for us if we would but look to Him. Have you ever had a child that when you was in town, maybe? My boys have learned that they've got to walk quick. Sometimes we'll go to the store and to get things done. I'll go one direction and my wife will go another. And if the boys go with me, they know
When I walk fast, that means they've got to kind of jog or run along. They've asked me in the past, Papa, why are you walking so fast? I said, honey, we're in a hurry. And they know they've got to keep their eyes on me. If they tarry very long, I'm going to be gone. Listen, Jesus Christ has made a way. And all we need to do is keep our eyes on Him and follow Him. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. He hears every word. He sees us in the darkest night. Do you realize that if all of mankind was blind and deaf but you, God still would have every one of your sins recorded? And He's waiting for you to cry out to the Savior. He's made a way. It was through the blood that was shed on Calvary. Get some song to sing. You think, well, I've got it hid from my mama. I can remember that. I've got it hid from my daddy. Now, they don't know what I've done at school. If I can just keep old so-and-so at school's mouth shut, nobody's going to know, but God does. God has heard. God has seen. And He would like to communicate to you today. Just like He did to me when I was 12 years old. Daryl, I have made a way. Daryl, you may not be tethered. Daryl, you need not to have Satan as your right-hand man. If you could only but see what's at the end of your life. Daryl, I want to be your friend. I want to be your Savior. And I'm thankful that I listened to that still small voice. I thought, you know, I told my wife, we was going to church and it was 9:30 in the morning. There was a man, he was driving down the road and he got out of the truck at 9:30 in the morning and he had a beer in his hand and he was so drunk he was staggering around, nearly fell out of his truck. You know, because he was pulled in the road right in the middle of the road and kind of turned the truck and I had to run off the road to get around him. I was running late for church and there was a little bit, just kind of made me angry. And I thought, you know, it wouldn't pay for me to be a cop or something like that around here. I thought of maybe what I'd have done in days gone by. And then still small voice spoke to me and said, Daryl, without me, you'd be him. I'm thankful that the Lord saved me from a life of drunkenness. I'm thankful my Lord saved me from a life of murderous thoughts. And if you just but allow Him, He'd save you too. You know how you sometimes feel when you're all alone? I want to tell you, you ain't all alone. You've got a Savior if you just call out His name. How sad a day it'll be. There was one that would stand before God. Said, Lord, I wanted to serve you, God. Lord, why weren't you there when my mother died? Lord, God, I was hurting so awful when my husband or my wife left me. Lord, why didn't you help me? And He'll look with truly believe He'll look in your face and say, oh, I would have, but you just needed to ask. And so it is. He stands today and He knocks. If you would but just answer the call, you could find peace everlasting. What does that mean? My wife, but she was lost. She wasn't what you'd call an alcoholic, but she said she was a binge drinker. You know, there's a lot of
lost people that get drunk for a lot of reasons. Some of them maybe even seeking after peace. But what I have offered you today is everlasting peace. Not the peace that, or that false sense of peace that the devil gives in an altered state of consciousness that will fall down around you come in the morning. But a peace that goes beyond all explanation. And the Bible says is everlasting. So then when Daryl is faced even yet, yes, with death, there comes a point in your life that as a Christian, when you think of death, you don't think of the concerns of the hereafter because you know where you go. But as with me, I have a responsibility of a wife and four children. But God has promised Daryl everlasting peace. And I'm thankful that in time spent in prayer and fasting, that the Lord can communicate to me, Daryl, I died for you. Daryl, if I would choose to take you and you never see one of your children saved, Daryl, I died for them too. And I don't know what it'll take to reach them. But my God sent my way what it took to reach me. And this is the beauty of it, church, that our prayers can go beyond the grave. I'm thankful that still yet I truly believe that there's going to be prayers answered of those that have already died and gone on. That Daryl's eyes have yet to see to be answered. But that they will be. Let us be faithful to bear our petitions unto a God that hears and cares. I love each and every one of you. I thank you for your attention. And if you're not saved, I would love to introduce you to my friend. His name is Jesus.